Coming up on Tech News Today, Amazon puts people in your Kindle. Seriously, also YouTube comments are going to get less horrible. Also, seriously, and Valve's second of three amazing announcements. All that and more coming up. Steambox.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This is Tech News Today for Wednesday, September 25th, 2013. Tech News Today is brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with coworkers and clients from anywhere. You can share the same screen and see each other face-to-face with HD video conferencing, even present from an iPad. Sign up for your 30-day free trial today. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and use promo code TNT. And by Ting.com. Ting is a mobile phone service that makes sense. Save money with Ting. Pay for what you use, doesn't require a contract, and offers unlimited devices on one pooled plan. To save $25 on your first Ting device, visit TNT.Ting.com. That's TNT.Ting.com. And by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. For a free trial and 20% off, go to squarespace.com and use offer code TNT9. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Sarah Lane.
I'm Aya Zaktar.
And I'm Jason Howell.
No traffic problems, no internet connections getting cut by landscapers. We're all back together again. And it's time for the top 10 stories of the day in the news feeds. Amazon announced the new Kindle Fire HDX in two sizes yesterday evening. In addition to a 2560 by 1600 339 pixels per inch screen, the new tablets have a 2 gigahertz Snapdragon 800 processor and an upgraded Kindle OS. They also come with the Mayday button that promises to connect you with a video person doing tech support within 15 seconds. Anytime, day or night, there'll be a little person inside your Kindle. 7-inch HDX starts at $229 and will ship on October 15th. The 8.9-inch version starts at $399, $349, and ships November 7th. A new Kindle Fire HD also arrives with a new look and a reduced price of $139.
Well, at an event in Seoul, Korea, showing off the Galaxy Gear and Galaxy Note 3, Samsung executives said that the company plans to introduce a curved display smartphone in October. They didn't give any other information on price or release date or even what kind of operating system it might be using. Now, the Nexus S already has a slight curve on its glass, but not the actual screen. You might remember Samsung applied for a patent recently for a smartphone that is curved along its vertical axis, so More curve coming. I'm going with that.
Twitter announced it will recommend new users to follow or tweets to view by its mobile apps. Twitter says you'll receive personalized recommendations when multiple people in your network follow the same user or favorite or retweet the same tweet. So if you have Twitter for Android or iPhone, you can get recommendations by push notification. If you don't want Twitter to get so pushy, you can turn off the recommendations in your settings. Jessica Lessen reports that sources tell her that Nest Labs, the folks that brought you the hippest thermostat since ever, have been developing a smoke detector. Among the features might be the ability to wave a hand to cancel an alarm, presumably when your tofurkey is burning or something, and the expected messages being sent to you over the internet when the thing goes off. That last might be a subscription service, which could make Nest a little bit of revenue.
Finland's biggest newspaper, I'm going to butcher this, but bear with me. Helsingin Sanomat reports that Nokia has begged and pleaded with former CEO Stephen Elop to take a smaller bonus due to disapproval and protest in Finland based on Nokia's chairman of the board claiming originally that Elop's bonus arrangements were similar to those of previous chief executives. Nokia admitted yesterday that Elop had, in fact, received a contract that seemed to guarantee a quick $25 million payoff if Elop was able to sell the handset unit.
Real Networks. Go, you take it.
Okay. Real Networks just introduced a new service called Real Player Cloud. The service lets users upload and share personal videos. You'll get 2 gigabytes for free. But if you want more space, you have to pony up some dough. Real released Real Player Cloud apps for iOS, Android, Roku, and Windows. There's also a web component if installing a Real product on your PC makes you feel dirty.
I think we all agree YouTube comments make you feel dirty and could use a little improvement. Well, Google Plus is there to help a brother Google division out. Comments on YouTube will now be based on relevance, not chronology, when they order up, just like they do in Google Plus's newsfeed. And hallelujah, replies will actually be nested under the comments they're replying to. Also, if you share a video on Google Plus, comments you make on the YouTube side will show up in both places.
Bloomberg reports that China's largest e-commerce company, Alibaba Group, may be considering going public in the U.S. rather than the more obvious Hong Kong exchange, and cites people familiar with the plans that Alibaba is in talks with U.S. law firm now. Alibaba founder Jack Ma reportedly wants to have dual shareholder voting classes to maximize his control over the company. The Hong Kong exchange doesn't allow for such an arrangement, but the New York Stock Exchange does.
Yahoo will add a not my email button to its mail system for users who have claimed one of those recycled email addresses that was previously used by someone else. When pressed, the button will notify the sender that the intended recipient is no longer at that email address. Use of the button will also train the email client to automatically reject certain emails that it learns come from those kind of addresses.
T-Mobile CFO Braxton Carter said that he expects there will be more consolidation in the U.S. wireless market. He called a deal between Sprint and T-Mobile, the numbers 3 and 4 wireless carriers, quote, the logical ultimate combination. Carter says that a combined Sprint-T-Mobile would be able to, quote, create a more competitive environment, considering AT&T and Verizon are so incredibly large.
And finally, Valve, with no consideration for our show's start time, announced at just 8 minutes ago the second of their 3 announcements coming this week. This one, as we expected, is hardware. They say they're going to work with several manufacturers to bring machines running the Steam OS that was announced on Monday to market in 2014. In the meantime, though, there are 300 prototypes that they are going to ship out to beta participants. So sometime before October 25th, you need to log into Steam, visit your Quest page to track your current status towards beta test eligibility, join the Steam Universe community group, agree to the Steam hardware beta terms and conditions, make 10 Steam friends, create a public Steam community profile, and play a game using a gamepad in big picture mode. If you want more about this, go to store.steampowered.com/livingroom. And click the second circle. Meanwhile, that third announcement will be coming probably, yes, at 10 a.m. on Friday. This episode of Tech News Today is brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix. People we work with most aren't always the people we see every day. This is a good example today. We're all in different places on this show. Coworkers work on the go, different offices. Clients that you might be working with are all over the country. In fact, they're all over the globe. Sometimes they're not even in the same country. And if you want to work efficiently, you need to have a stronger connection to your team. You need to not just be listening. You need to see them. You need to stay focused. You need to brainstorm. You need GoToMeeting with HD Faces, the powerfully simple way to meet online and see each other face-to-face. With GoToMeeting by Citrix, your team's just a click away. You share the same screen to collaborate in real time, turn on your webcam, make your online meeting an HD video conference, and you feel like you're in the same room. You can launch or join a meeting from anywhere. You got an internet connection. You can use your computer. You can use your smartphone. You can use your tablet. You can even do presentations from the iPad. It makes a big difference when we do our meetings with GoToMeeting with HD Faces. You can see everybody at once on the screen. It's perfect for meeting situations. And you can see that they're understanding. You can see people nodding. Those nonverbal cues are essential to getting your point across. Try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. For this special offer, visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code TNT. Remember, use that promo code TNT. GoToMeeting. Meeting is believing. We thank them and Citrix for their support of Tech News Today. All right. We'll hopefully be getting Rachel Metz from Technology Review to join us and discuss the stories of the day. But we had a little connection problem with her right then. So as soon as she gets back, Jason will let us know. But I, as Akhtar, as you may have noticed, disappeared during the news fuse. You're back, right?
No. Not back yet. But okay. I do actually have Rachel.
Hello, Rachel.
There she is, Rachel Metz, technologyreview.com.
Hey, sorry about that. Hey. A little technical difficulty.
We can even hear you. Fantastic.
Oh, good. Sorry.
Thank you for joining us. Sorry
ironic,
for the technical
problem. Right, that there'd be technical difficulties.
I know, exactly. IT editor for web and social at technologyreview.com. I was happy to have her along for the recent Android announcement. Great to have you on Tech News Today.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Let's talk about another Android-related announcement. Amazon runs a version of Android, a customized version of Android, on their new Kindles. And we talked about a little bit of what's going on with them, some of the specs in the news fuse today. And the big thing that's getting attention with these, yeah, they've got a great looking screen. It's like, what is it? 2560 by 1600, 339 PPI. That's fine. I gave the price wrong, by the way. The 8.9 inch is $379 for the Wi-Fi version. But everybody's paying attention to this Mayday button. It's the, you tap the Mayday button in your settings and it will give you help from a real life person. Now, the reason for this, Amazon doesn't actually have a retail outlet, right? You can't go into a store like an Apple store and get a genius to help you out. So the genius comes to you on your Kindle Fire HDX. Ina Fried from All Things D put a video up demonstrating how this works. Let's take a look.
And there you go. We have a keyboard showing here. Now, at any point that I get in the way, like I already have, you can actually tap on my face and move me to a different area of the screen, or I can actually do that for you if you prefer.
So here we can move you all around. And you could do things like help adjust the settings and various things that the average user might forget how to do from time to time.
Absolutely. Yeah, if you were just focused, I would just move myself to a different area or anything that would be relevant and easy.
So there's a little guy in your Kindle Fire that's gonna help you out. Now, they promise 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you tap that button, within 15 seconds, one of these real live folks are going to answer. It's no bots. Rachel, what do you think of this? Can they pull this off, especially on, like, you know, the day after Christmas?
It's going to be pretty expensive, and it's going to require a lot of people. It sounded like they said they're hiring, did they say thousands of people, I think they said? Yeah. They're going to be bringing in to help with this. I think it's awesome if they can get it to work. It's just like such a cool level of personal tech support. If you're having a lot of problems and you've just bought something, especially right around Christmas time, you feel like I should be able to use this right now. I don't want to wait. So I think it's a really smart idea, and they definitely have experience with really good customer service with their website in particular.
Now, they don't actually see you. That's an important part of this. Even though the Kindle Fire has a camera, they say that the person on the other end won't see you. They will be able to do things on your Kindle Fire, sort of like a log me in type situation where they can remote access. But you can turn that off as well. And in fact, you can go into the settings and turn the whole thing off and say, I never want anyone to be able to do this on my Kindle Fire if you're really worried about it. So I don't know. It seems like they've done a wise implementation that puts, you know, protects a little. They've thought about those privacy implications that people would immediately think about.
I think it's really cool if they can, that the way that they've set it up so that you're in control of it, because otherwise you'd probably be afraid to use it, I think, or at least I would. if I didn't really have some control over turning it off, or knowing what they can see and what they can't see or do.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to say I use the tablet in compromising situations, but I don't want to have to think about what I'm wearing and how I look when I tap the tech support button. So that's a good thing here. Also, another feature they announced, Amazon Prime Instant will be available for offline viewing on the HDX devices. So this is their Netflix-like service. With Netflix and with Amazon Prime Instant up until now, you had to be connected to the internet in order to watch your shows. Now you can choose select shows. They have to get the licensees to agree to this, so not every show is going to be available. But with select shows, you can say, download this and let me watch it offline. So it's almost like an RDO or a Spotify for television in a way.
I think it's really cool. I would totally use that. Like if I go on a train trip or if I go like on a plane, for example, it's really nice to be able to have some video, but I'm always thinking like I'll use iTunes and I'll rent a movie or something like that. But this would be cool because like if you're already a Prime customer, which a lot of people are, then you can just download things and watch them later, which makes a ton of sense.
This sure seems to be the trend, doesn't it? I mean, last week we heard about YouTube offering online access to watch videos. Presumably, if you've got a nice little playlist set up for yourself, you could spend hours watching offline YouTube videos. With Amazon now saying, yeah, I mean, this is all content that you don't have to be online for. So yeah, if you're commuting or you're on a plane or this and that, it just makes it more convenient for you to use our services and never have to think about whether you have a connection or not. So, you know, it's not just Amazon doing this, but again, it just kind of makes it that indispensable way to consume your media that that is very popular these days.
Another way to consume your media that's less popular is by reading the comments below the YouTube video you posted. But hopefully, this new Google Plus system is going to make that less frightening, IS.
Commenting system that's powered by Google Plus. Now, commenting now requires or will require a Google Plus account. It's launching on channel discussion tabs, and it's going to roll out to all videos over the next few weeks and months. The comments will be automatically ranked, be threaded, and there are now private conversations. Nundu Janakaram, a YouTube product manager, told TechCrunch that comments from the video creator would be ranked very highly. Comments from popular personalities on YouTube and people in your Google Plus circles will be higher up. Comments will be voted up or down. And once YouTube switches to the new system, all the old comments will be in the system and intermixed with the new ranked and threaded comments. And YouTube is also giving some new tools to content producers. Video makers can create a list of approved users using Google Plus circles. They can create blacklists and block users. And there's a new function that YouTube won't tell commenters when they've been blocked. So when that person logs in, they'll see their comment as if it was normally there, but it doesn't appear for everybody else. So the idea is to stop people from creating more accounts so they can troll like crazy on these YouTube things. Rachel, do you think we're going to start seeing highbrow discussions on the famously horrible YouTube comments?
I don't know if highbrow is the way to put it. I mean, I think part of YouTube and part of watching videos on YouTube is to have fun and to make comments about things, you know, if things are funny or silly or whatnot or dumb. But I do think this is a really interesting idea. And I hope it'll lead to better comments, better discussions. Because yeah, when you go on there now, it's a ton of just trolling comments, and you look at it and you're just like, ugh, I don't even want to deal with that or try to digest any of that. It also is kind of a shrewd move on Google's part, right? Because it's trying to get more people to use Google Plus and trying to get to feed more commentary into there. Where right now, I think a lot of people are like, why do I need Google Plus when I have Twitter and I have Facebook and such?
Yeah, I love that they've brought back this 1996 technology of nested replies as well. I don't know what took them so long to do that. But maybe they just decided, you know, we're not going to worry about building the YouTube commenting system anymore once they invented Google Plus. They just wanted to make Google Plus. I do think it's interesting that the Google Plus relevance thing is being seen as a way to solve the YouTube commenting problem. And I think that's fair. And I think that's very clever about let the troll think that they trolled you so that they don't go and make another account. But really, I mean, what changes YouTube accounts is moderation. Having somebody in there interacting with folks, removing spammy comments, removing trollish comments. And Geek & Sundry does this very well. When you go to their videos, you don't see a lot of those trolly spammy comments that you typically associate with YouTube. Those are in the Wild West part of YouTube. So it's all about whether you want to spend the time and whether you have the resources to spend the time moderating. And I think what Google's doing here is saying, we know that not everyone does. So we're going to try to make it better so that you don't have to turn off comments like Popular Science did and just said, forget it. We're going to be one of those sites that doesn't have comments at all.
Anything to improve YouTube comments is a good thing. I specifically think, yeah, moderation is definitely helpful. And it's good to be able to float up comments from, yes, your friends or people that are held in high regard and link it to Google Plus. But just having the person's account who was responding. I do this, I have a few favorite YouTube accounts, you know, my little, you know, celebrity cats and that sort of thing. And it's like, I want to see all that stuff at the top. I don't really want to scroll through 100+ comments just to see when Lil Bub responds to a question here and there. So I think this all makes perfect sense, not just to make the experience more pleasant for everybody who reads YouTube comments, but for the creator themselves.
All right, I watched a little bit of this new show called The Goldbergs on ABC yesterday. It's kind of like the Wonder Years for the 1980s, and it's got me feeling really nostalgic, Sarah. Do you have like a Walkman story for me or something?
You know, Tom, it's uncanny that you just mentioned that, because it turns out that I do. Sony has unveiled a new line of Walkmans, quite a few, actually. I think the two most notable ones are the ZX1 and the F880. I mean, I don't know who's naming stuff behind the scenes at Sony, but there you go. They both have a 1 gigahertz dual core processor, touch screens, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, NFC, a digital amp, high res audio playback, which sets it apart from the iPods and the other devices that could play music but are also other things. This is supposed to be just a better version for people who really care about audio. A variety of formats of music that can be played, AIFF, ALAC, Wave, and so on. Both models run Android 4.1. They can access Google Play. They can run games as well as apps for the music aficionado who likes to do a few other things. The ZX1 is coming to Japan on December 7th. It'll have 128 gigabytes of storage, about $760 US. That's pretty high, but that's their top-of-the-line Walkman. Then you've got the F880 coming to Japan in a few different options. 16 gig goes up to 64 gigs, available in several different colors. That'll be priced at about, for the top-of-the-line 64-gig version, just over $400 US. You've got an S series Walkman that Sony says is just great for battery life. That's kind of what it's special for. 77 hours of music playback. Well, Rachel, you know, we mentioned Walkmans as like, yeah, it just reminds us of when, you know, kids in the 80s type of a thing. And I think instead of saying, well, who's going to buy this, is this just for people who really, really care about music to the point where they want a device that can handle a better experience?
At that price point, I would think it probably would be, because you could get a media player or something really simple that's just going to play music or play music and have a few other capabilities for less than, I'm looking at the price, I guess the lowest one is like $275-ish, $273 for now, it looks like. I mean, that's pretty high. You could certainly get an iPod Nano or something for less than that. So I don't know. I'm a little skeptical of this. I mean, it might well do well in Japan, in certain markets. Sony probably knows their home market very, very well. So I would think that they have some good ideas when it comes to that. But as far as like the US market, I'm pretty skeptical that that's going to do very well here.
I think it also, you know, obviously headphones sold separately, but it's like, I mean, if I'm listening to music on my iPhone, which is essentially my, you know, my iPod that does other things, and I'm using my crappy earbuds, I mean, nothing's ever going to sound that great. So even if you put a bunch of all the right things as far as specs goes, music-wise, into a device, and you don't actually have the output that you can take advantage of with some, you know, over-the-ear, fancy, schmancy, noise-canceling headphones, I do wonder why it would be worth the money for anybody.
Exactly. I also think that you've got a lot of smartphones now that are incorporating like Beats audio technology. And if you've got things like that, that are in theory going to make the sound quality better that the phone is emitting, then why would I need something like this? And to buy that for like your children, say, it just seems a little bit pricey if you want to get something for someone that doesn't have phone capabilities.
Yeah, that's kind of, you know what? That's a really good point, because why I might want to buy these is because I don't want to buy a phone for my child. I don't think they're ready for that, but I would like to have them a music player. But then that's a lot of money to spend for something like that. And that really is what it comes down to. And I guess these prices aren't crazy out of hand when you compare the unsubsidized prices, but nobody does that anymore. Everybody always looks at the subsidized prices. Even with these new jump plans and everything, you're always looking at the down payment price rather than the full price of the phone. And it just doesn't seem like it compete, but I guess Japan is a different market, and that's why they're launching in there.
What about a marketplace for these kind of high quality audio files as well? I mean, a high quality player, you know, player that that plays 192K 24-bit files, like that's the kind of audio file, uncompressed audio that you use when you're producing music and passing it along, you know, in the professional music industry. That's not the kind of audio file that kids are sharing with each other.
Yeah.
So, So why does a player like this need to exist when there's no real easy way to get a hold of audio that is of this quality? It seems like it's solving a problem that doesn't exist.
The guy in the chat room, Web1112, for those of us who like uncompressed audio, have already spent a lot of money on real headphones and headphone amps.
Yes.
And they want a portable music player for all that, all those flacks and AFs that they had worked so hard to collect and put together. So, yeah, but I don't know how big that market is. Maybe it's, again, maybe it's bigger in Japan. Let's take a quick break and tell you about one of our sponsors, a cell phone company that doesn't rip you off. Kind of a weird concept, I know, for you to wrap your head about it. It's called Ting. It's no BS mobile service. Ting is an MVNO. That just means that they don't operate the network. They're operating on the nationwide Sprint network here in the U.S. But they have no contracts, no early termination fees, no bundling or ride-along service, none of this hidden, you know, oh, well, if you get this many voice messages, then, you know, when it goes over that, we're going to charge you $1,000. No, none of that stuff. No add-on charges for voicemail or caller ID or three-way calling. No mysterious line items on your bill. And you can have as many devices as you want on one plan. They don't care. The whole thing is each device on a plan costs a flat $6 per month to connect it. And then after that, you just pay for what you use. You are in control of your account, your usage, your bills. And if you do have a question about something, they have no-hold customer support. You call them, 1-855-TING-FTW, anytime between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern time. A real person picks up the phone. You don't get to, you don't have to go through a phone tree. You call them and somebody picks it. How? When has that last happened for you? Probably never for a lot of you. And they have excellent online support at help.ting.com if you need it after hours. Here's what you do. You purchase your mobile device from Ting. You'll get it in 2 to 5 business days. Activate your device with Ting. You have the option to select a new phone number or bring over your existing one. Ting will break your rates out by minutes, text messages, and megabytes and bill you at the end of the month for what you've used. You don't have to guess. Well, I think I might use this 1 month, so I'm going to pay for this. No, you just pay for what you use. Visit Ting today. Go to tnt.ting.com. Check out their savings calculator. If you're like, well, wait a minute, that sounds great. I like the idea of paying for what I use, but I also don't want to pay more. I want to pay less. Check out their savings calculator. See how much you or your company can save, because you'll save money and better manage your mobile phone usage with Ting. Tech News Today viewers also save $25 on your first Ting device when you sign up. So visit tnt.ting.com and start saving today. Let's talk about a different kind of phone that might be coming out in October. Samsung dropped this at an event. They were doing an event in Seoul, showing off the new Note 3, showing off the Galaxy Gear watch, and they just happened to let drop, oh yeah, we're going to have a curved smartphone coming out in October. Now, apparently, this is not just like the Nexus S, which had some curved glass, but not an actual curved display. This is a curved display, but they wouldn't give any more details. They have showed off a flexible OLED screen back in January at the Consumer Electronics Show. That one has a display that curves around the edges. So in other words, it kind of wraps to the side. And then when it's sitting on its side, and I guess in this announcement that they had back in January, they said you put your jacket on top of the phone and still see notifications maybe show up in that side thing. Or it could, I don't know, maybe it could be on a bookshelf or something like that. They hadn't really come up with a real phone, then it was kind of a wonky prototype that they were showing off. But apparently we're going to get an announcement in October of a real use, a real phone that has some kind of curved screen. Rachel, if you had to make a guess, what would you guess this would be?
What would I guess?
What would they do? How would this work? And do you care?
You know, I looked at the prototype and well, I think it's cool, and I guess I'm still kind of struggling to figure out why that would be useful to the average person. I'm trying to think that there must be some really obvious reason why that would be awesome. But notifications on the side of the screen, I mean, that's fine, but it's not that big a deal to look at the phone screen, right? I guess I could see more uses for curved screens in general. I'm not sure about on a smartphone, but just in like large screens and things like that, I could see how that would be useful. So I don't know. I guess I'm scratching my head and twitching my mouth on this one.
Yeah, there's times when my phone's been upside down when I could have used a notification on the back, but rarely on the side.
Samsung has that weird thing with the S4 where they have a little window on it where you can actually look. There's special covers for that. So they want to give you a little bit more information. So that curve seems like it'd be interesting if you had a cover on it. But the real application for this to me is a smartwatch, because Samsung is obviously, they came out with the Galaxy Gear and they were talking about, well, this version won't have flexible glass, but the next, or the flexible display, but the next one might. And that makes a lot more sense when you're talking about having something that's going to be on your body like a watch. Maybe not. It's kind of a cool feature that it looks like the screen kind of continues off to the edge, like in the video you're showing off right now, because it's that wow factor. You want to say, oh, wow, I've never seen that before. And that's the thing that Samsung loves to have, that people turn their heads with their displays.
It's sort of like the infinity pool.
Yes, I was thinking the same exact thing, Tom.
Your infinity phone just goes on forever.
I can see how that would be cool in a smartwatch. That totally makes sense, especially if they did it in a portrait mode. You could just have it sort of blend into the wristband or something like that, right? If it's curved, that would probably look kind of cool.
And that would make sense if they had said they were going to debut a new device or product, but they said a phone. And maybe it'll be both. You know, maybe obviously if they can do it for a phone, they can do it for a watch. And maybe that'll be the next version of the Galaxy Gear. Remember, we did hear those stories that they've got another version of the Galaxy Gear watch in production already that they might show off at CES this coming January. So maybe that's where that would end up. They show off the curvy phone in October and then the watch in January. But I'm with you guys. It's kind of a nifty thing on a phone, right? You can't do much to differentiate phones, and this does differentiate it, but I'm not sure how practical it is. Maybe it doesn't have to be. Maybe it's just kind of, you know, a cool look, and that'll be enough. Wow, this is kind of a nostalgic show, Ayaz. We've had a story about Walkman, and now we have a story about Real Networks.
Real is back. Real Networks has a Real Player Cloud. It's kind of like Dropbox for your videos. You upload a video to Real, and then you can access that video on iOS, Android, Roku, Windows, or on the web. And that's when you sign in with the Real Player Cloud credentials. You do that. I did that via Facebook Connect this morning. If you've got multiple devices with Real Player Cloud on the same network, you can view and send videos within the network, and you don't have to transcode anything. So this morning, I was trying it out with my Galaxy S4 and my iPad. While signed in, I was able to stream videos from one device to the other without having to download, unless there was some network congestion. At that time, I received a prompt where I could download the videos, and they played just fine. So it was a pretty kind of neat little solution to get videos from device to device. There's also a Chromecast application in the works. Now, for uploads, clips consumers shoot with their own camera have no time limit. But if you're trying to upload other videos, like you're deciding, I'm going to put a movie on this, like a Hollywood blockbuster, well, that's limited to 15 minutes. So they're going to make sure of that. You only get 2 gigabytes for free. You get more space. If you pay $5 per month, you get 25 gigabytes. $10 per month gets you 100 gigabytes. And $30 gets you 300 gigabytes. And Real is saying that you don't have to worry about formats. You can move videos from computer to computer. They're saying it's more private than YouTube or Facebook. And like I mentioned before, you don't have to sign up for Real if you want to watch these videos. And the web component makes it really nice if you feel dirty about installing a Real product on your device. That's really kind of scary. The old days, anyway. Rachel, you think that this kind of video sharing, this product, does this seem like it's solving an actual problem? Or is it just like, this is kind of nifty to me?
I mean, I think it sounds pretty cool. I guess I'm just not sure how much clout the Real Networks brand has at this point. I mean, they've been around for a long time. They have a lot of good experience in the video space, but I mean, they've tried before to do cool things with video. They used to have a feature, I think it still exists, where you could install a plugin that would let you download videos that were otherwise not downloadable from the web. And that was cool, but it was the same thing. It was like, well, this is neat, but how many people really need this? How many people really use this? I have a soft spot in my heart for Real Networks, and I hope that they succeed and do well. But I don't know. I'm not sure if you're really going to get people to pay that much for this kind of service.
I feel like the problem with Real is they're always chasing after the last thing. They're not the only company that does this by any stretch, but they always come out with a product that I look at and go, wow, 2 years ago, I would have been really excited about this because nobody was doing it. But now I'm like, well, I can do a private YouTube channel. I can actually put videos in Dropbox. I know this is tailored to video and it's probably better than those situations, but I'm already using these other things. I don't know if I really feel compelled to try a new service for this at this point. They just always seem to be a little bit shy of the demand.
Yeah, or a lot bit shy. It's funny that you mentioned Dropbox. It's like Dropbox for videos. It's like, well, Dropbox can be Dropbox for videos. You know, I mean, I don't think anyone's like, you know what really sucks about Dropbox? That they have not figured out videos. It's, I mean, it's that's, you don't have to use Dropbox, but if for whatever reason you're on the fence about it, I don't know what Real Networks is going to be able to offer that other competing services just don't already. And I don't know. I don't want to knock them because a service is a service. But yeah, I feel like the market is saturated already for exactly what they're trying to get people on board with.
See, that's what I thought when I read the story this morning. That when I tried it out, it actually did have some features that I thought were better than Dropbox. But you're right. There's a lot of competition out there. And to say, oh, we're going to do private video sharing when that seems like it's an option for lots of different things. The implementation, the apps are pretty cool. The Android app worked really well, sort of the iOS version. So it's really cohesive. But like Tom's saying, 2 years ago, this would be great. I just don't know if they have enough marketing budget to make people realize that was not a pun, to make people realize that it's actually a good product. It's surprisingly good. And I don't have a soft spot for Real. I basically have like this fear of them because of all the buffering and crapware that used to come with them. At least that's what my memory tells me. So, and it's not a soft spot. It's a scare spot.
All right, let's move on to the randomizer.
What about Steam?
Oh, wait, no, let's not move on to the randomizer. I totally scrolled too far in the lineup.
Tom, I've had enough of you sabotaging the show.
I have a block on Valve because of their timing. Yes, no, we have a hardware announcement. What is it?
Mentioned at the top of the show, we sort of had this countdown page. There's actually still a countdown for some other details on the page, but as you mentioned, we're sort of seeing what's next for Steam. So they say they're working with multiple partners to bring Steam gaming machines to market during 2014. They're all going to run SteamOS. They say they've designed a high-performance prototype optimized for gaming. So, you know, living room and for Steam. Upgradable, completely open. And then they have kind of a fun little get involved. They say this year, so in 2013, we're going to ship 300 of these boxes to Steam users free of charge and for testing. You have to complete a variety of steps. You have to make 10 Steam friends. You have to create a public Steam community profile. You have to play a game using a gamepad in big picture mode. It doesn't matter what order you do these things in. It's all fairly easy stuff just to basically prove that you are enthusiastic about it. And then they say we will choose beta participants and hardware participants after you've completed all the steps as a pool of people. So you won't necessarily become a participant because, again, there's a very, very small number of hardware units. But you only have until October 25th, and that's when the list gets locked. They answer a bunch of questions. They sort of say things and then totally sidestep other questions. When will the prototype ship? This year. We don't have a specific date. Where's there a picture of it? How big is it? They say, well, we're not ready to tell you about that yet. They say you will be able to download the OS to try out, just not yet. But when you do, it'll include the source code. So this is, you know, it's obviously a way to drum up interest and get people excited about it, but still be somewhat vague on the details. What do you think, Rachel? Do you think that this is going to be a big to-do, get a lot of fanfare ramped up?
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll probably garner a certain amount of interest. I'm not sure how much it's going to get, how much people are going to be interested in it beyond that community. But it sounds like a cool idea. I like this idea of shipping out boxes for free for people to test them. I mean, that's probably a win for both the fans and for the company because then they're getting some free R&D help there. I guess I find the idea of badges, that just makes me think of the larger issue of badges, virtual badges. Do people really care about badges? Is that a big thing? I mean, they're all over the place, but do people really want badges?
Yes, they do. I don't know why either, but they do. It's kind of crazy what people will do and why gamification works the way it does. I don't think it's like the panacea. Like all you have to do is put out some badges and then everybody will be interested in whatever you want to do. But if you've got something that has interest like this, then that does seem to help. It does seem to make people want to do things that they otherwise wouldn't do. And I think particularly of World of Warcraft, where they added the achievements system, which all it does is give you a little badge that says you did this in a list. It's not even public. And people knock themselves out trying to like achieve these things in game.
These Steam boxes, these prototype boxes are supposed to come out this year, right?
Yeah, that's what they said, but not
the beta boxes,
Yeah, that's what I'm curious about. Like, there was no release date, at least as far as I remember, about the Steam OS that was announced on Monday. So I'm wondering if these boxes get out in the wild in the next month or two, will we see Steam OS pop up on BitTorrent sites and get leaked? Because, or will that be out officially earlier than the boxes? Because the OS, to me, is more interesting than getting the actual hardware, because I have hardware laying around my office that I could make a Steam OS box out of. I really want to try that. So the hardware seems like it's an interesting idea to show, hey, yeah, we can do this. But the fact that it runs, it's going to be a Linux-based operating system, seems like there would be lots of different manufacturers. And what would make Valve's box special, I'm not really quite sure, other than, I guess, optimized drivers.
Well, I mean, these are just prototypes. That's the only thing that makes it special is we already built these. That's what it sounds like to me. And remember that they got rid of Jerry Ellsworth. They got rid of a bunch of the hardware people. I think they probably had enough design work done that they could make 300 boxes, and that's why they've got 300 boxes. And they want the manufacturers to really get in there. So to bridge that gap, to be able to make an announcement, get people used to it, do some real beta testing that the manufacturers can learn from, they're just going to ship those boxes out. My guess is that the Steam OS will be downloadable by the time the boxes arrive. On that announcement on Monday, they said downloadable soon, free forever. So it's an open source system. There's really no reason not to have it available if you're sending out the boxes with it on there. It just wouldn't make sense.
And yeah, get the OS soon.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, actually. Are you going to do, anybody going to do the quest? I don't know if I'll do the quest. I would love to have one of the boxes, though.
I mean, the nice thing is that it's not, I mean, there's probably going to be a lot of people who do so because it's not that tough. So you're still going to be competing against a lot of people for 300 slots, but it's not that hard. It just sort of shows your commitment to the future. It's not I would say, I can't do any of that stuff. I'm not a big enough gamer. Boo hoo.
They're like, we know we're going to have many more than 300 people. So we need to do something to weed it down a little bit.
Right.
All right. Is it safe now, Jason, to
launch? Let's do it again.
Okay.
Yeah. That felt real.
The show is safe.
We conducted a straw poll with our live audience, as usual, and had three items in there for you to vote on. One, a gold iPhone 5S selling for $10,000 on eBay. That got 15% of the votes.
That's ridiculous.
Or you could just buy the $24 sticker kit, which was story number two, that turns your iPhone 5 into an iPhone 5S. Presumably, then you could turn around and sell it for $10,000 on eBay. That got 17% of the vote. But dominating the vote today with 68%, fake waterproof iPhone ad tricks users into destroying their smartphones. Apparently, this thing started as a joke on 4chan and then got out into the wild. And people saw an ad that said, update to iOS 7 and become waterproof. And because there are billions of people on this planet, of course, there was a small percentage of them who took it seriously and dropped their phone in the water. And now the phone doesn't work anymore.
Whoops.
That's horrible. That's so horrible.
I saw this pop up a couple of days ago. I think it was on 4chan and popped up on Reddit. And I was looking at this and I was just surprised that people would even to take it seriously. But then again, people, I think this is wishful thinking, right? You want to have a new feature for free, and if it's waterproof, that'd be freaking awesome. But that's just not the case.
Oh man, there are just so many things wrong with that. Software will not make your phone waterproof.
I know, right? If you do even the tiniest bit of thinking about this.
What about waterproof from software? Would waterproof from soft water, not hard water?
Ooh,
something extra.
It's a nice linguistic connection.
Even those invisible coat your iPhone in something you can't see but makes it waterproof. We tried that on iPad today once and Leo bricked his phone in about 5 seconds. So in general, I feel like this is a very bad idea.
Yeah,
and you know the Genius Bars don't like the water damage thing. They don't want to play if you walk in there. They've got their little testing things and they say, I know what you did.
Isn't there something about the new Apple Care allowing for water damage, though?
I think you get one screw up with that.
Yeah.
You get one toilet drop.
Exactly. And then you're done. Then they chastise you for using your iPhone on the toilet and send you on your way. But
you say you're using it wrong.
Back pocket. Back pocket.
I know that you got to be careful with the back pocket. That is a big problem for people.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead, Rachel.
Oh, no, I'm good.
All right. Let's take a quick break and thank our final sponsor for today's show, Squarespace. You know we like Squarespace. You know I use Squarespace. You know I won't shut up about all the sites that I use on Squarespace all the time. But we want to hear about the sites that you're making on Squarespace. Send us a tweet with a link to your Squarespace website and use that hashtag TwitSquarespace. We'll take a look. We might even be choosing your Squarespace site to mention on a future episode. But all y'all can go out and see these beautiful websites that people are making by just doing a search for that hashtag TwitSquarespace. They're constantly making new Squarespace sites. And the best part is, it's easy to use, so any of you can do it. You can do it right now. You can do it before I get to the end of telling you about Squarespace. If you go to squarespace.com right now and start setting up, you'll have a beautiful website that will look right on any screen. It's mobile ready. Every design automatically includes a unique mobile experience. So if you're looking at a working iPhone that hasn't been dropped in a toilet, it'll look right on that screen. It'll look right on a tablet screen. It'll look right on those new Kindle Fire HDs. And it'll look right on your big 29-inch screen. They adapt the designs to look great in all of those situations. And they're beautiful designs. They're award-winning designs. They've won awards from FWA, the Webbies, Forbes, and more. Even their code is beautiful. And we all know the Squarespace looks beautiful on the outside, but it's also amazing underneath. If you take a look at it there, plus hosting's included, it's affordable at $8 a month, giving you the whole thing, the hosting, the search engine optimization, the designs, the whole ball of wax. So if you haven't done what I just said and gone and started trying it now, do it. Start a trial. You don't have to give them a credit card or anything. You can start building your website right now. When you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure to use the offer code TNT9. That gets you 20% off. And allows you to show your support for the show, for Tech News Today. We thank Squarespace for their support of Tech News Today. Squarespace, everything you need to create an exceptional website. We got at least one item on the calendar there. Sarah, what is it?
Well, if you're excited about buying a Pebble, you now have another option. You can buy one through AT&T. It goes up for sale starting September 27th, which is Friday.
Woohoo! Let's see what's incoming.
Incoming message.
Got an email from Alex who said in episode 845, you discussed Valve's SteamOS announcement. I'm an avid PC gamer and I've been thinking about that, trying to piece together what we know. This is Alex's words. He says, I'm actually seeing a lot of parallels here with Google's Android system, an open source operating system developed by a major player, freely downloadable and hardware agnostic, intended to allow third-party manufacturers to build hardware. We found that out today. They handle the production and supply issues. Those are third-party manufacturers. Valve gets every new customer immediate access to its app store, Steam, and potentially uses it to other yet-to-be-announced services. Steam already resembles the Google Play Store and Apple's App Store, and Valve has pledged to help developers with additional API software. Alex says, I can imagine a future where Microsoft with the Xbox mirrors Apple with the iPhone as the closed source but still popular living room appliance, while third-party makers like XI3, Samsung, HP, ZTE, LG, Dell even, Peugeot, Corsair, maybe even Sony, and others build systems for users who don't want to build their own. What do you guys think? Alex says, am I crazy? Or does this make sense to anyone else?
I don't think he's crazy at all. When he mentioned Samsung in there, and that list of companies that would potentially get involved, if you give Samsung a free operating system and a way to make a computer, they will make themselves huge. So Samsung becoming a video game player could become a real thing with something like SteamOS, because they don't have to worry about the software anymore. So that, to me, like these other PC makers could also join that. But to basically say any PC maker could become a competitor to the Microsoft Xbox, that is really strange.
And I think that is the big news here from Steam. It's not that you have an open operating system that's available on multiple platforms. Ubuntu has been that. Ubuntu even has an app store. And Android has been that, obviously, and that's a good comparison. I think what it is the strength of the ecosystem. And I think that's what Alex has hit on here, is that Valve is in a unique position where they can jumpstart this to be a huge competitor. And it goes right on back to the, IBM versus Apple. Right? One is an open platform. Lots of people can make IBM clones, but only Apple could make Apple. It's that same kind of scenario being repeated over and over and over again. Thanks for the email, Alex. Appreciate that. And thank you, Rachel Metz, for your contributions, your brilliance, and your patience with us today. It was great having you on the show. We'll definitely have to have you back when we have fewer technology issues.
Thank you. It was great to talk with you guys.
Now, you can find your work at technologyreview.com. Anything particular to tell folks about that you've been working on or just want to tell them where to follow you? What
do you, you can find all my stuff on technology on technologyreview.com. And I'm on Twitter at Rachel Metz, R-A-C-H-E-L-M-E-T-Z. I work on a lot of stuff in web, mobile, social, a lot of different startups and some research projects as well. Lately, a lot of wearable technology related stuff.
Check it out, technologyreview.com. Also, don't forget that you can have an effect on what we cover on the show at our subreddit, technewstoday.reddit.com. Get in there. Vote. Vote up. Vote down. Don't have to vote up. You can vote down. Just make your opinion known at technewstoday.reddit.com. You can find us on the web at twit.tv/TNT. You can email us, tnt@twit.tv. And you can give us a call, leave us a voicemail, 260-TNT-SHOW. We will return tomorrow with our guest, Lloyd Case, back on the show. We'll see you then.